Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's what Jesus tells his disciples as he tries to prepare them for the fact that he's leaving them again, and this time for much longer than 3 days. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's easier said than done. The early disciples had a hard time heeding these words of Jesus, and we do too. The first disciples tended to be afraid for their lives after the experiences they had with Jesus, and that fear was not unfounded, as we heard in the reading from Acts, in which Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, was stoned to death for telling an angry mob about Jesus. That troubled the hearts of Jesus' disciples, and it still troubles our hearts to this day. And that sort of violence continues to this day. Thankfully, stoning is not as common in the modern world as it was in Jesus' day, but violence against those who say or do things with which we disagree is still commonplace in our world. Our hearts are troubled by the ongoing events in the Sudan. Our hearts are troubled by drug trafficking and human trafficking and wars and genocide. Our hearts are troubled by the fragile economy and by the changing climate that seems to be causing stronger storms and more frequent outbreaks of life-threatening fires. Our hearts are troubled when we think about the world our children and grandchildren will inherit. And it is in the midst of all of this that Jesus comes in and says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Easy for you to say, Jesus. You have the big picture, the whole picture. You are one with the Father, and we are not. All we have is the mess that we have inherited and helped to create, and we are troubled. We're like Thomas. We don't know where you've gone, and we can't seem to find the way to you, Jesus. We're like sheep without a shepherd, lost and confused. You had compassion on those who were like sheep without a shepherd. Have compassion on us. Show us the way to you. So often that way seems unclear. There are so many hard choices to make. There are so many distractions in our world, so many temptations that lead to paths of destruction. There are so many shiny objects to lure us away from you. It's easy to be led astray, to lose our way, to get lost on this journey. Our hearts are troubled. We so often feel lost and alone. Jesus says to the lost and wayward, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Personally, I wish that Jesus had left that second half off, because it's been used as a bludgeoning tool by Christians against those of other faiths. Certainly, Jesus does not mince his words here, as John has him tell it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But what exactly does that mean? There's disagreements, even between Christians, on what exactly this means. Some say you must be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Others say that you must confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Others say you must invite Jesus into your heart. All of us say that we must live our lives as Christ's body in the world today. And that should trouble our hearts most of all. Do we actually live as though we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Or do we live as though Jesus means nothing to us at all, as though he is gone, out of mind, out of sight? Does our faith our belief have any influence over our lives outside these doors? Or do we lock Jesus up here in the Omri and never give him another thought back in what we consider the real world? Is what we say or what we do more important? How do we even know what we should be doing? For us, the litmus test is the promises we make each time we baptize and confirm. They are promises each of us renew in our baptismal covenant, and I don't think that we can be reminded of those promises too many times. These are very serious promises that we make before God and each other. Let me remind us all again of what we have promised in our lives as Episcopal Christians. First, we promise to continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. We promise then to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Next, we promise to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. Then, if these are not clear enough or difficult enough promises, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. All persons, we promise. Not all nice persons, not all good persons, not all persons with whom we agree, or even all Christian persons. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons. And finally, we promise to strive for justice and peace among all people and to respect the dignity of every human being. That is the same category as all persons. And in all these promises we make, we ask for God's help and are assured that we have God's help. Otherwise, we would have no hope and our hearts would be troubled indeed. If we do our best to live into these very strong promises we make to God and to each other, we will be living as those who follow Christ, because these promises are drawn from his example. I'm not sure exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." But I have known some nasty, hate-filled folks who claim to be Christians, and some loving and compassionate Muslims, Jews, and even atheists. I also know that Jesus can bring anyone through him that he wants and in any way that he chooses. I know that God's love is bigger than anything I can even imagine, and that his love is not just for folks like me. I'm still awed by the fact that God even loves me, and that there is nothing I can do to make him love me more, and nothing I can do to make him love me less. And the same is true for you. I know that Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place for those who follow him in whatever form that takes. Our world is troubled. Our world is divided. Our job as Christians is to live into those big promises we make to the best of our ability and not to add to the troubles or the divisions. We are to take our promises very seriously and do all we can to be living examples of Christ in the world. The rest we can trust to God. Amen.